Welcome to Spark Stories, where entrepreneurs and experts share their brand story and how they found their spark, the spark that started it all.
Good afternoon, Clarissa. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Sanjay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. We had a really good conversation here in the studio earlier, so
We have been catching up with all the latest trends, all the latest pop culture topics. It's been keeping us laughing, so I'm glad to be here today.
Yeah.
Yes. And we're excited. We got some really exciting guests here today.
Yep, it's full house.
Yeah, full house. And we're here with Miss Alicia Ray, Miss Sarah Glambos, and Miss Nikita Pope. These are all powerful women in the Atlanta community, and we're so excited that they're here today to share with us who they are, what they do, and why it matters. And we're going to kick the show off today with Miss Alicia. How are you?
Hi, I am doing really wonderful, and I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Your day's going good. How was your commute in?
Oh, it was really perfect. I got here like in 30 minutes.
Perfect in Atlanta?
Yes, I know.
Never go together.
Yeah. That really, I've never heard that traffic, perfect, Atlanta, all in one sentence together. So you have to tell us, how did you get here?
So I took the highway just like I normally would, but I guess with the time of the day, there wasn't a lot of traffic. There were no accidents. And I was driving. I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I have it that, this must have been meant to be. Like everything's in flow.
You already put it in the universe, right?
Yeah, I'm claiming it.
Yeah, I've never heard all of that in the same sentence. So I'm glad that you made it here safely.
Thank you.
And to tell us all about your business. What's the name of it?
So it's Ray of Light Cleaning Solutions.
Ray of Light. So that's a very interesting name. How did you come up with Ray of Light?
Oh, wow. So first off, my last name is Ray, as you all have heard. And growing up, you know, I've always been a person who's really full of light and bubbly. And I've actually had friends say to me, like, you're such a ray of light. And so that's something that I heard a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. And so when it came time for me to name my business, it dropped into my mind, seeming like out of nowhere, because actually I had not heard Ray of Light for years.
Okay.
And then it just hit me like, Ray of Light. And the other side of that, it speaks to what I want to bring into a home, what I want to provide for my clients, you know, because people are inviting me into a very sacred space.
Yes.
You know, and I want to provide that ray of light for them.
Oh, very nice. Now, where's home?
So home is Florida. Mm-hmm. I was born in Florida, Miami specifically.
All right. Yeah. Is that Dade County?
Yeah, as a matter of fact. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And from there, when I was about 11 or so, I moved to Kissimmee, Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's mid Florida?
Yes, Central Florida, right outside of Orlando, where Disney is actually located. So,
very nice. Okay. Yeah. Very nice. So, again, you came up from Florida. How long have you been in Atlanta?
Ooh, 15 years plus.
15 years plus. What brought you here?
So, I moved here as a teenager. So really my mother.
Your mother brought you here.
Yeah.
That's a good way to get here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So tell us a little bit. You said that you're Ray of Light and you're going into home. So you're the residential cleaning?
Yes, residential.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's your ideal client?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. My ideal client is, someone who's very spiritual.
Really?
Yeah.
So how do you seek out a spiritual client?
I don't actually seek them out. I think really because of who I am and the referrals that I get, it's really happening organically to where I just end up with a clientele who's very spiritual, very kind, beautiful, beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, you know, when it comes to like when I'm sharing on social media, I pretty much share who I am. And so naturally, when we share who we are and when you be authentic, I think naturally I'm going to attract the kind of people who resonate with my vibe. So, yeah, that's how I do it.
All right. So you use your spirit to attract your clients.
Yeah.
And then you go into their home and you a ray of light.
Yes.
And you help them with when they're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So what does an overwhelmed client look like?
Ooh, wow. So, well, sometimes, a lot of times, well, a lot of people are working. Mm-hmm. Working, have families, a ton of responsibilities, and so, and they want the house cleaned, you know, or they want a clean house. You know, having a clean, organized house is important to them, but they don't have the time to do it. So, you know, anytime we know whenever things are cluttered or not clean, it can create internal stress,
right,
first and foremost. And so that's the first way when it looks like is knowing, oh, I want to get this done, but gosh, I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the ways. Another way is I see, like, especially mothers when there's a lot of children. So let's say it may be a client where they might stay at home or maybe even work from home, but when there are children or even other responsibilities that need to be taken care of, it can still be overwhelming because you still have, at the end of all of your responsibilities, you still have like a house to keep cleaned and organized and running if you, you know, want peace of mind.
Sure. Now, organized and clean, are those two different things or kind of one and the same?
They are two different things.
Okay. So explain us the difference.
So cleaning is more like when you're cleaning surfaces, right? So I can go into a home that's not really organized, but maybe straighten it up a little bit and clean the surfaces, right? And I do some organizing, but so cleaning is cleaning the surface. Organizing is like structuring, putting things in order. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. Makes a lot of sense. So you're entering to these sacred, organized or unorganized homes.
Uh-huh.
Like, what type of personalities does the home or stories tell? So tell us a crazy story.
Ooh. Ooh, okay. So I went into a home one day, and it was this big, beautiful home, very eclectic, very, the client, I could tell, travels a lot. So there's just things and stuff from all over the world. And when I went into the home, actually, I felt kind of scared. Yeah, not like unsafe scared, just like, ooh, you know, when you go into like a museum and it just creates this sense of like, I want to call it something different than fear, but I'm going to say awe, wonder. You know, what comes to me in the way when you are standing over a cliff or something, and I say looking over into nature and your heart beats fast because it's like, so this home had that kind of impact on me because of everything that was around it. And I remember going into the closet of this home, and I opened the closet. It was very warm inside, and I thought, okay, this is interesting. And when I closed the closet, I was just, you know, walking around doing things, and I still felt this warmth, like the warmth was like following me, if you will. And I'm not here to say what it was or wasn't.
Okay.
I'm just saying that I was very clear that there was a presence in that home, and a very strong presence.
So, like this, the ghost of uncleanliness came into your space and followed you around. How long did it take you to clean this closet?
Well, it wasn't organized or anything. It was actually a closet that had memorabilia in it.
Oh.
So more like antiques type of a things. Okay. And so it didn't take long, just a, you know, dusting really quickly. And it wasn't like anything that was spooky. I mean, it was unsettling, but you know, the fact that I was just very aware, like there was a strong presence in the home, and that came from this closet. And let me just say this, I am not one of those people who have seen or had these extra, you know, type of encounters, but I was aware then, like, oh, okay, there's a presence, and it wants me to know that it's here. And it was actually from that moment on that I started engaging with the home, like, their people, like, hey, I come in peace. how can I serve you? You know, because I believe that homes is, they just like people, they want to be loved on, and they have personalities and feelings. And so I respect that.
You respect the personality of the home. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I mean, cleaning is just probably like one of my least favorite things to do. So how did you get a passion about cleaning?
You know what? What's interesting is so when I was like 10 years old, I remember my grandmother had this storage. It was actually a bedroom turned storage. It was a bed in there and like stuff packed all the way up to the ceiling. And I remember just one day saying, oh, you know what? I was looking for something. And then I started moving things out to look for something. And I just decided to clean it and organize it. So I took everything out of the room. Again, I'm like 10, maybe 11. And it took me like the whole day. I want to say like 16 hours. And I was taking breaks here and there. And I remember one, when I was done, the sense of accomplishment that I felt. And my grandmother's response, like she was so in awe, so appreciative. I felt really accomplished. And I realized then and there, like, you know, I felt, what's the word I'm looking for? Like peace. Like it was very therapeutic. So it was an unsuspected reward. I never went in like, oh, I'm so passionate about cleaning. It's more of, oh, I'm in the process of doing it. And then I discovered this sense of peace. Even now, I can't say I go into, oh, I'm so excited about cleaning, mm-hmm. but I get excited about what's going to open up, what is going to provide for my client, the peace of mind, as well as it's very therapeutic.
Very interesting. Now, do you do this as a solo entrepreneur? Do you have a team?
Solo for now. Every so often, I'll have an assistant who comes in and assists me, but solo for now.
Okay. So what size homes?
Ooh, gosh. I have clients with one bedrooms and six bedrooms. So from one bedrooms all the way up to six bedrooms, I think probably the biggest home I ever cleaned had seven bedrooms.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how long does it take to clean a seven bedroom home?
Oh, wow. A very long time. really the whole day. You know, sometimes depending on the scope of cleaning required, I will set up 2 days. But generally, like for the seven bedroom home that I've done before, it wasn't like all of the home didn't need to be cleaned.
Okay.
So oftentimes when a client has a home that size, they generally only are focused on a particular area, or I'll just do the bathrooms or do two rooms. So I haven't come across where, maybe except once or twice, where like the whole entire home that size needed to be cleaned.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a I can't think of the name of her show, but it's been on Netflix. Everyone is talking about it.
Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo.
Oh, yes.
Really? Do you follow any of her rules of throwing things away if it doesn't bring you peace?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Number one, something that I love that she does is how she greets the home. That's something that I resonate with. She actually gets on her knees, if you all have seen it. And but in terms of like, yes, if it doesn't spark joy, mm-hmm. I absolutely go by that. Because you know what I think is interesting about that is sometimes there are things that you might look at and you go, it doesn't seem to have any it seems just pointless. Like I'm pick up this long piece of wood. How am I supposed to figure out if it sparks joy? But there's something about, and she suggests this, which I love, is that you take the item, you put it in your hand, and you really experience like, what is the experience like? Because everything that's in our home, it carries energy. And so, you know, you be surprised at, you can get inside the experience of, does this spark joy? Mm-hmm. How does it make me feel? And I like to say, for me, does it make me feel expanded? Like I'm really present to, does it make me open and feel expanded, or contract and close up? And if I'm closing up, I'm like,
get rid of it.
Get rid of it. Yes.
Get rid of it. That's really good. So if, when you're reaching out to your ideal client, how do you say, basically referral?
Mm-hmm.
So you go by referrals. Mm-hmm. Are you on social media?
I am. I'm on Facebook.
On Facebook? Okay. Yeah. And what's the under your, was it Ray of Light?
Yeah. Ray of Light Cleaning Solutions. And also my name, Elisha Varea, do share things on there. But yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you for sharing with us who you are and what you do and why it matters. And we're going to now speak with Miss Sarah.
Wow. Did you plan that?
I did not plan that. It just kind of just happened.
As it does.
Sarah, share with us who you are, what you do, and why it matters.
Well, I will gladly after that wonderful share, because what I do that you do for the home, I do for the body, the mind, and the spirit.
Okay.
And I help people.
We need both of you.
I know.
A clean house and a clean mind.
Ooh, yes.
We're talking the whole time. I'm like, wow, that's exactly what I do. Yeah, really cool. My passion around Unique Wellness Studios, I created it for myself. In 2015, I was a heap on the floor. Mm-hmm. I was 20 pounds overweight. I was over fill in the blank too much of everything. And it was really kind of a, you know, how do I get myself out of this situation? I had enough of a spark of hope to know that I'm here for a purpose. We're all divine sparks, right? Mm-hmm. And I had that intrinsic faith in me, and it was a voice inside my head, really, that intuition, that higher universe, the, you know, creative source, whatever you want to call it, said to me very clearly, put the bottle down. And knowing that I had taken a, you know, college fun habit, all of this into coping with a really amicable divorce, which it was. But in that amicable divorce, I ended up eating, numbing, stuffing a lot. And that came out really as over drinking. So I decided to stop. And when I stopped, I made myself a list of all the things that I could do instead of that.
Wow.
And it was all self-care oriented. It was yoga and journaling and meditation and getting off social media, you know, cutting out negative things, places, people. It was a major transformation, and I figured out how to do it. Mm-hmm. I've never been happier in my life, and I get to share that with other people.
That's really cool. How long would you say you were on the road to self-discovery?
You know, I was one of those people that was, I'm a wise soul, and I could always talk the talk, but it came a point where I wasn't really aligned with that. I was making choices behind the scenes that weren't very good, but having that faith, I knew that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, it's funny, I was thinking this morning, what really, you know, cracked me open when I started feeling so highly sensitive and empathic was, it's always been that way, but I vividly remember being absolutely devastated by Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath. And it brings me to tears, 9/11, things like that. I feel feelings so very deeply, and it's a gift that I have to help other people that maybe don't feel their feelings. I help them learn how to feel it, where they feel it in their body, in a really safe and gentle way.
Okay. That is powerful. And I think during that time when Hurricane Katrina happened, it did bring out a different emotion in how you wanted to connect with people, you know, so close yet so far away. How could you bring them in? And having a place, a safe space for them to actually come in and be able to talk to someone through self-discovery and different practices. So I think that's really cool. So that is that how Unique Wellness Studio was kind of birthed?
You know what? That's the way back history. That's when I first really cracked open and started becoming so highly sensitive. And then that escalated into being having like a noise sensitivity. And Unique Wellness Studios wasn't born really until you know, I decided to get real well and woke up and stopped making really bad choices.
Yeah. And it's funny, when you're making choices, you do have to make that deciding factor. Good decision, bad decision, and all the consequences that kind of come with it. So I think that shows of a sense of perseverance.
Absolutely.
And so that's part of in resilience and being able to be the comeback kid.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's really good, Sarah. That is really good. So I guess that all fueled into passion.
Absolutely.
And how are you help, or do you help women and men, or who are you helping?
You know, I help women and men, typically more women, though men have started showing up. I would say, you know, 35 to 70. I have an online program for people that are entering the self-care personal growth journey that's a kind of meet you where you're at. These are the basics. I'm doing a retreat in March for people that want to take a little bit deeper dive and have a more experiential experience with that. But typically, you know, men or women and people that are highly sensitive and spiritually curious, I tend to attract a lot of that.
Okay. About your retreat that's coming up. So you said that it's going to be an experimental experience.
Experiential.
So what type of practices do you kind of is involved?
Well, it's something I created for myself.
Okay.
Because I need it. Mm-hmm. And I really want to target solo entrepreneurs, creatives who are just busy badasses.
Mm-hmm.
That they just don't have enough time to get all the business stuff done. So they'll come on this retreat with me, and I'll nurture them while they nurture their business and their soul. So the mornings we'll wake up, and we'll have a daily practice, journaling, meditation, either yoga or Pilates with my friend Maria. And then we'll have uninterrupted time in your business. And during that time, I'll have out fresh, you know, infused water and snacks, and you'll have Wi-Fi, and you'll have all your list of things you need to do, and you'll have that time to do it. And if you want to say, I don't want to do that, and you want to go on a bike ride on the beach, you can do that too.
Oh, it's going to be on a beach resort?
Tybee Island.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, a little cottage on Tybee Island. It's not on the water, but it's close enough, and it's magical.
Okay. Now, how many people are generally in your workshop?
I have room for 6 on this, and I've already pre-sold 1 spot. So right now we have 5 available. And I wanted to mention, too, that my lovely Dr. Private Chef Husband will be coming, and he will be preparing gourmet breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks.
Oh, that sounds good.
There's something for everybody.
Something for everyone. Now, you mentioned doing some meditation and Pilates. You have someone you've partnered with in the community?
Yes, the lovely Maria Angelova with Rebellious International. And my business is Unique Wellness Studio, so we combined them to come up with Unique Rebel.
Mm-hmm.
And we created the 30-day program together, I mentioned, and we'll also be leading this retreat together.
Oh, this sounds very exciting. Yeah. You know, you also mentioned journaling. Does Alicia, do you journal?
Yes.
Oh, what power do you find in journaling?
Ooh. You know, it really opens up something inside of me. There's like this portal, this energetic portal that opens up. And when I journal, like, I'm, like, in a zone for the day.
Yeah. So can you share with some best practices for journaling?
Some best practices that I would share are to have a notebook dedicated to it. That's the question I get asked the most. Well, can I do it on my computer? Of course you can.
Right.
But there's scientific evidence. It's proven that pen to paper journaling has more effect, more cumulative effect, more benefits. And so definitely pen to paper. And I would vary it. Some days I would do stream of consciousness. Some days I would have a journal topic or something that I wanted to write on. And I would dedicate specific time to that, whether it's morning, noon, or night, but, you know, 10 minutes, set your timer, or I'm going to write 3 pages, however you want to set it up. It's one reason I called my business Unique Wellness Studios, because it's so unique to each and every person, and whatever resonates with you that you will stick to is your best practice.
It's the best practice. That's a good way. So you do looking for new clients, and they're coming in. Are you doing some type of consultation process with them to kind of figure out where they are and then what type of development plan you can create?
Yes and no. And typically what that is, like you were saying, was it's more of an attraction of, and if we resonate with each other and we're a good fit, it's going to work.
Right.
And regardless of the plan we put in place. And I leave a lot of that very nebulous, because I think a lot of my work that I do with people is divinely inspired. And I don't like to have a plan that might work for some people and not others. It's open to interpretation.
Sometimes with spiritual or meditation and this type of path of self-discovery, people kind of find it as a woo-woo. And it's a lot of misconceptions. Can you tell us, break some of those myths today?
You know, I would love to. I really feel it's, and it's another thing that I kind of contemplated. You know, what do you do with people that call it woo? I think it's really past time to wake up. This has all become way too mainstream to be thought of as woo anymore. I mean, that's silly.
Yes.
So I really feel like part of my gift, I've been gifted with the ability to bring the sacred to the mundane.
Okay.
And very highly spiritual, nebulous concepts that we could go down a rabbit hole for the rest of our lives. I make it so that you can practice these things on a daily basis. You don't have to go to the ashram in India. You don't have to go to the sit in noble silence for 10 days. You can do this while you're grocery shopping and running errands.
Wow. Practice.
Yeah.
That's really, so when you're out in the community, and I know that you're community connected, how that attraction? Are you going to different seminars? Like, where are you hanging? Where can we find Sarah?
You know, usually kind of a special event or workshop, and it's typically something I've created, but I am just a lover of creating connection and creating different aspects of the community together in ways that when you look at it at first doesn't make any sense, but once we're all together, it makes total sense. So I do a lot of work through the chamber and creating events, and I also do workshops and other, you know, things around and about town. And I just end up, you know, it's synchronistic. The right people show up at the right time with exactly what I need.
What's your last name, Sarah?
Galambos.
Galambos. Does that help? That, in the Sandy Springs community, does that have a little influence?
You know what? That's a funny you asked that. I said to Michael, I said, do I have an X on my forehead?
How does that work for you?
You know, I think it name recognition, of course, and Eva was absolutely brilliant, you know, gifted in her vision for the city and the way she stood with it every single step of the way, like a mother to a child.
Right.
Unconditional love and total and complete faith. And that's where, you know, I really resonate with her on that. I am not business, economically or politically gifted at all. But, you know, I would say my emotional intelligence is a gift as well. So, you know, I think people are surprised when I show up as a Galambos.
Yes.
You know, because I am polar opposite. But, you know, if you boiled it all, you distilled it down to the very bottom line, it's a love of people and healthy lifestyle and creating a community that supports all of that. You know, she did it in a very different way than I do, but it's same.
Same thing, all about connecting people and making impact.
Yep.
And I definitely think you do a great job at doing that. You're very involved, like you said, in chamber and leadership, and we just love your personality.
Thank you.
And the energy that you give off, because you definitely show balance.
The rainbow unicorn at the table.
So can you tell us at least three things we can start doing today?
Absolutely. I'd say first and foremost, just become aware of your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Just become aware of the fact that you're breathing in and out. If you're sitting at a red light, you're standing in line, I'm breathing in and out. And the more you do that and you practice it, it redirects your brain to rewire itself to become aware that you're breathing.
Okay.
Beautiful. Another thing that I would suggest doing every day is move in some form or fashion, 15, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour if you've got it, but move your body. It's important to keep that mental, that physical energy moving. And gosh, there's so many things. Another thing I would say is wake up in gratitude every day for whatever it is that you have, because your subconscious mind hears you talking about or thinking about gratitude. So it automatically goes out and starts looking for validation and more things to reinforce.
So you can put that in that journal, right?
Absolutely. Every day.
All the things that you're grateful for. So where can we find you on the internet and on social media?
UniqueWellnessStudios.com is my website, and Facebook, Unique Wellness Studios, Instagram, Unique Wellness Studios. And then my private Facebook is Sarah Galambos.
Sounds good. We're gonna look out for your retreat.
Great.
Looking forward to that. Next we have up Miss Nikita Pope with Branding Chicks.
Hello.
Hi, Miss Nikita.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm awesome. How about you?
I'm doing well. I am so glad you're in the studio to share who you are, what you do, and why it matters. All right. So tell us a little bit about Branding Chicks.
Branding Chicks is a branding studio. We specialize in brand development and brand strategy for women-owned businesses and female-focused brands.
Ooh, sounds good. I love the name. How did you come up with that name?
You know, it was one of those things where, it's kind of like the cobbler that has no shoes. Trying to brand yourself is really difficult. and I beat my head against the wall for months about it. Like, you know, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. And then one day it really just came to me and I realized that it was all right in front of me. And it was, you know, straightforward, but also had so much meaning to it as well, which was important to me. And it had my personality in it, which was also really important to me. Because I wanted people to know what kind of business they were stepping into and they were partnering with and the kind of person they wanted to work with.
So what is that experience like?
Working with me?
Yes.
Fun.
Fun. You should see your face.
Fun. I really, like you, Sarah, I think connection is super important. And branding is so much to me about relationships. It's about building a relationship with your audience, building a relationship with your creative partners, your collaborators, your vendors, like everything. Because, you know, branding really is the sum total of every single experience that someone has with your brand. And so that's a relationship building space. Like, I think sometimes people make it really technical, and it can be, but, you know, a lot of it really is just building those relationships. And so that's how I run my business. That's how I participate in the community. That's how I bring in clients. So for me, you know, that relationship is super important. I want to help you build your dream. So for the people that I'm working with that are developing their brands, that's what it looks like. Like, this is their baby. It's, you know, the thing that they've been like marinating over and kind of cooking in the oven, and they're passionate about it. And I want to be able to enhance that and help them package it and put it out in the world the way that they want it to be. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it. I think you definitely explain branding in a very chick-like way.
I'll take that.
So when you're out attracting these chicks, what do they look like?
They look all kinds of ways.
Oh, tell us.
Well, my thing is I'm looking for people who want to learn about branding. I'm a teacher, a professor at heart. So for me, a lot of working with my clients is also teaching them how to brand themselves, how to look through that lens themselves. I won't always be there. And most times, especially when I'm working with entrepreneurs, they have such a personal connection to the businesses that they're building. And I don't want them to lose that. I don't want them to feel like I'm a barrier in the middle and that they have to get through me or around me or, you know, to get to what it is. I want them to be able to see all of those things for themselves. So the women that I tend to work with are either entrepreneurs who are just getting started, or they may be entrepreneurs who are sort of at a crossroads. Like, they know they want to go to the next level, but they're not exactly sure how to get there, or they're adding new products or new services to what they do, and they realize that that's going to require a shift in their messaging or in the way that they market themselves or in the way that they kind of put those things out there. So, you know, usually that's what it looks like. And then on the consulting side, I work with a variety of different businesses. But usually, you know, I would say the common thread, whether they're bigger businesses or organizations or smaller ones, is that they are in a growth mindset. Like, they're ready to grow. Mm-hmm. They're ready to change. They're ready to do something different. And that is the key, because I've worked with people who aren't, and it looks very different. The results are very different. So knowing what that next step is, they may not know what it is, but they're ready to take it.
So how long is the engagement? Is it a week or 2 weeks?
It really depends on the client. For people who are just building their brands, it tends to be a longer engagement. Sometimes we do it in phases. So it may be that, you know, we work together for, you know, 3 months or 6 months to kind of, you know, get them on the right path. With some of my consulting engagements, they tend to be a little bit longer. Sometimes they're 6 months to a year. It really just depends, because it's not just about the deliverables. It's really about changing the mindset of everybody that's involved in the brand and how they operate. So that's not, you know, that's a systemic kind of thing. It's not something that changes overnight.
Sure.
So, you know, being able to be there and sort of walk through that with them makes a difference.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Now, you said you're a professor at heart.
Yes.
And by trade,
yes.
too, right?
Yes.
So how have you found it to educate your clients through the process if they're kind of married to the business?
So one of the things that helps is helping them understand that their audience is who they're talking to and not themselves, right? So sometimes we create businesses for ourselves, like Sarah did. We create businesses for ourselves, and so we are the target market, but that's not always the case, right? So if you're going after an audience that looks different than you do, not necessarily in, like, you know, physical always, but, like, you know, there's demographics, how old are they, how much money do they make, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then there's the psychographics, which are even more important, like, what are they committed to, what do they care about, like those kinds of things, right? So sometimes we're, you know, talking to ourselves when we're, you know, creating messaging and branding, like, oh, I love it, and you might love it, but you might not be the audience, right?
Right.
And so, you know, sort of shifting that way of looking, that's why I said it's kind of a lens to look through more than anything else. If you shift the way that you're looking at that, then mm-hmm. it starts to affect the choices that you make and the changes that you make. So that's the biggest one, because sometimes, you know, a CEO doesn't always have time to get in the weeds, you know, like, well, I think we need to do this color versus that one in our visual identity or whatever. But it is very much like, you know, are you thinking about the people that you're talking to? Have you profiled them? Do you know them well? You and I have talked about this before.
Yes.
But I believe in profiling your audience, and not like in a, you know, in a negative way, but like giving them a face, giving them a name. Like, you know, my avatar's name is Roxy.
Tell us about Roxy.
Roxy is amazing. Okay. I feel like I know her really well. She can be any ethnicity. Her age ranges, you know, it's really more her psychographics than her demographics that are important. But she's a go-getter. She's ambitious. She's interested in building a legacy for herself. She may or may not have, you know, taken some time to get to this path, right? She might have done a lot of other things before, but now she really sees, like, what her path should be, either because she's been called to do it or because she realizes that all of her past experiences are now culminating into this one thing. Mm-hmm. And she's excited about the next stage. She's excited about what's next. She's a little bit sassy. She doesn't take, you know, crap off of anybody. She cares about the people around her. She likes to collaborate. Family is important to her. Like, I know who she is, right? I know what kind of clothes she wears, I know what kind of shoes she wears. I know what other brands she interacts with. So Roxy is, I tell my clients that they need to know their avatar as well as they know their best friend, right?
It's really good.
Yeah.
Sarah, do you have an avatar?
Now, Roxy needs to come on my return.
I would agree.
Yes.
I would agree.
And what about you, Ms. Ray? Do you have an avatar for your business?
I do. And she's spiritual, very kind, mm-hmm. Professional, very into community service. What else? She's family oriented. Mm-hmm. For some reason, dress as well come to mind.
Dress as well. That's
really, really big on in self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Really eclectic, you know, mm-hmm. in many ways. So yeah, I'm also with you. Like, I know her very well, mm-hmm. but for me, it's been like I've gotten to know her.
Yeah.
And I think it's so wonderful that you talked about your client may not always be you.
Yeah.
Like, I know for me, my clients are in a much higher income bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to, if I'm marketing, I'm not mm-hmm. trying to market to me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a distinction to make.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you have to give your avatar a name.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh, what's her name? I've never named her. Let's see.
That's my favorite part.
Anybody
else want to contribute?
Sarah, what's your avatar's name?
I'm sitting here thinking, okay,
mine's is Naomi.
Naomi, I like it.
I'll come back on the next show. I'll have her name.
Next show, you will have a name for your avatar.
Yeah.
You can't just call her she.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Right.
You have to give them a little life, okay?
Okay.
A name that fits the persona.
Yeah.
Mr. Really well. Thanks. So, look for that exercise, Nikki. Give us another.
It makes really, yeah, that's fun. It makes it really easy, right? So, like, if I'm thinking about how to market myself or where I want to go to speak or who may be in the room if I'm going to network, that's my question to myself. Is Roxy going to be there? Is this something Roxy would care about or not, right? And so it helps me sort of manage my brand as well. But I know her like I know my best friend. Like, if somebody comes to you and say, I'm going to get your best friend this for Christmas, right? You would immediately have a reaction. Either, oh, my God, they would love that. Or, no, don't do that. That's a bad idea, right? And I feel like Roxy's the same way.
That's really cool. So that's going to be our homework number one for the week, is to figure out the name.
I like giving homework.
Yeah, the professor and her, to figure out what's the name of our avatar.
And we come can up journal with and meditate about it.
Yes. Yes. And then it'll come to you. And you'll be able to see her so clearly.
See her. And then we'll go to Tybee Island and we'll talk all about our avatar. You see how it all came together?
Perfect. I love it.
All perfect. So, Nikita, when you're hanging out and you're hanging with Roxy and you guys are out looking for that perfect customer, what is your niche?
Well, my niche, like I said, is, you know, mostly women-owned business and female-focused brands. And, of course, I stray away from that sometimes, but I am selective about what those things are. I think for me it is, I like working with a variety of different businesses that do a variety of different things and have different audiences. I'm a creative. I get bored easily. So that keeps everything fresh and new for me. And it allows me to sort of not only see everything that's different about those businesses, but also what's the same, right? Because that allows me to sort of like frame it a little bit better for everybody else. But yeah, mostly women-owned businesses. My heart is with entrepreneurs. I love helping people see their dreams realized. And some of the larger businesses that I do consulting for is also fun, especially when I get to collaborate with other agencies and stuff, which I've done some of. And that brings in different kinds of clients. Sure. It allows me to collaborate with other people. Like, I'm mostly a solopreneur. Mm-hmm. I build teams if I need to, if the projects are big enough, but collaborating with other agencies allows me to get that like creative brainstorming fix. Sure. You know, like to get to play and bounce things off of it, ideas and strategy off of someone else.
Yeah. So now all of the guests here today have identified themselves as a solopreneur. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have to give to other solopreneurs who are trying to get started, to when they feel like, I can't do this alone?
Build a community is the first thing I would say. I'm blessed that I've built enough people around me that, you know, they know things that I don't know. They have businesses that focus on things that mine don't focus on. They know what it's like to be entrepreneurs. I don't have to, like, my friends and my family that are not in that space, they support me and they're, you know, there to listen and all those things, but they just don't know it from the inside. So if I'm having a really rough day and I call one of my other entrepreneur friends and say, I'm done with this, I'm ready to go work at Popeyes, they know exactly what I mean.
Right. I really don't want to work at Popeyes, but that's just how I feel.
That's how I feel right now. And they know exactly what I mean, right? Like, I don't have to explain it. I don't have to do any of those things.
Roxy wouldn't be working at Popeyes.
She would not work at Popeyes.
Absolutely not. She probably has those days too.
Right.
So yeah, the community has made a huge difference for me in terms of support and resources and, you know, just feeling like I'm not doing it by myself, which is everything to me.
Would you agree, Sarah?
I wholeheartedly agree with all that. Yeah. I would just add to that self-care and more self-care.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is self-care?
You know, it ranges. It's so wildly varied. It can mean so many things.
Yeah, because it's such a buzzword now. Everywhere you go, self-care. Mm-hmm. What does that really mean?
Self-love.
And self-love.
Beautiful. I mean, for me, it's really honoring yourself as you are a temple. You are a divine spark of God, higher power, creative source, intelligence, whatever you call it. And you're here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And when you show up as the solopreneur, the entrepreneur, and your heart is all over that, you must take care of the vessel mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually so that you can show up and serve and make a greater impact.
Cool. I agree.
That's big. I love what you just shared, because for me, like with having a brand like Ray of Light, one thing that I'm clear about is that in order for me to show up that way, I have to take care of myself. I have to have a gratitude practice. Like I have to. Otherwise, I'm going to be mean and cranky and I won't be a ray of light. Like right. I can smile, but it'd be fake.
That's off brand.
It's a ray of light.
Yeah, it really would be. And this is a little bit, it's off a little bit off to the side, but like it's one of the reasons why I even have discovered, like even with pricing, like I have to charge in a way where it honors the both of us, because I recognize from like if I don't, then it compromises my ability to be a ray of light, because I'm not going back to what you shared, Sarah, that in those cases I wasn't honoring myself. And so I love that you shared that self-care, that self-love, that honoring ourselves is so huge.
Knowing your worth.
Yes.
Knowing your worth and being able to allow, like you said, allow your client to see, you know what? I want to invest in her.
Yeah.
I want to be unique. I want to be branded. I want to be that chick. And so I think it's very important to show that spark. And that does, it all ties back to the self-care and the self-love and self-honoring. Yep. Good job. Let's see here. What else we got here, ladies? Let's just talk. Give us some advice of that spark, that energy that kind of drives you. Like, what gets you going? What gets you going?
What gets me going, to me, is helping people be able to have the courage to even take the steps that are necessary to make a big change. Because a lot of that, the fear of the unknown can be debilitating.
Right.
But if you have, and I hate the word expert. I really do. It just makes me cringe. But if you, you know, one of the things I would say to people, if you're somewhere where you don't know where you are, hire or find somebody that can help you walk through that.
Right.
Because a lot of that, you know, a lot of it is some dark nights of the soul, you know, with branding, with cleaning, with, you know, showing up as a human being on this planet Earth.
Right.
And being able to see people just step into their power and go from existing to thriving, where you wake up and your baseline's pretty freaking amazing every day. You know, you hop out of bed.
Right. Got to have something you want to hop out for.
Yeah.
So finding that passion and that, again, that spark, what drives you and what's going to ignite you and your community to make impact. And I think that is so important. Nikita, sorry, I have a lot of Nikitas in my life. So I kind of get them confused. I did not ask you, how can we find you?
I'm on Facebook as Branding Chicks. Instagram is Real Branding Chicks and Twitter is Branding Chicks.
All right.
And BrandingChicks.com.
BrandingChicks.com.
Yeah.
Very good. We're going to look for you as well. It's a lot of exciting things going on here in the city. And I know you ladies are all connected. And again, this is just all about bringing us together to share your stories of who you are, what you do, and why it matters. And hopefully, like I said, give some words of encouragement to other solopreneurs, women entrepreneurs. We're in a very unique time and unique space. And I think it's so important for us to be able to connect and to build relationships and just build a system of, as Sarah would like to say, badass women.
Yes. That was the worst cuss word I said today.
Yes.
I'm proud of myself.
Sarah said, can I curse? And I was like, sure, Sarah.
I'm glad you asked.
I'm glad you asked.
I was trying my best. You're
right.
So, I'm behaving today.
Yeah, you're good. You are good. This has been great. Let's see. One last question before we go. Never underestimate, and I want you to kind of just fill in the blank.
Never underestimate a sweet smile.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
Never underestimate a sweet smile.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Never underestimate your badassness.
We've got it. We're awesome badasses with some great smiles. Nikita.
Never underestimate a woman with a plan.
A woman with a plan. Do you have a plan?
Yes.
Sarah, you have a plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
Alicia, you have a plan?
I'm in process of creating it.
Sanjay, do you have a plan?
I think so. You're helping me out there.
My plan changes often, but I have one.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. The plan to change. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming out today and sharing with our audience about who you are, what you do, and why it matters.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you,
Clarissa.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's wonderful.
All right. And this is Sanjay Ture for She Sparks Stories. And tune in next time for another episode.
Thank you for listening to Spark Stories. If you're looking for more help in gaining focus, come check out our website where you can find episode show notes, browse our archives, and access free resources like worksheets, trainings, events, and more. It's all at www.shesparks.com.